Welcome to Cafe Grit. My name is Beth Ann Campbell, and I'm the author of Where the Hell Is My Bacon? A book about shitty corporate leadership and fried pork. I've worked in the corporate world now for over 20 years and have seen just about everything. I opened Cafe Grit as a place where you can join me in figuring out how to make your career life better. Whether it's finding your voice at your current job, pursuing something entirely different, or working for yourself. This is a place to go when you've got the hankering for purpose, a taste for fulfillment, and you're tired of living the rat race. Thanks for stopping in. Cafe Grit is now open for service. Hey everybody, welcome to Cafe Grit. It's Beth Ann Campbell. God, I almost forgot my damn name. I forgot his dang name. Little Hamilton reference there. I don't think I got it right. Close enough. I did warn you that I may break out into song. Did I not warn you? If I didn't, you're consider yourself now warned. Anyway, welcome to season one, episode three. This is a continuation of episode two, where we walked through a scenario a friend of mine went through late last year when she applied for a position at a company, went through the whole process, phone screening, two interviews, totally rocked it, and then never heard back from the company again. Ended up taking a position with another job. So we're going to just dive a little bit more deeply into this whole process, and no guarantees that anything's going to get fixed. This stuff has been going on for so long, I don't know that it's fixable. But you know what? We're going to call it out, because that's what this podcast is about. All right. Do want to once again caveat this by saying that I am not HR. So I encourage anybody who works in HR, who has different perspective or an insight perspective, please let me know. I welcome all comments and corrections, except the grammar police, as I have perhaps noted here or elsewhere. The grammar police can go screw yourselves. But I do want to hear from people that have a different perspective. It's definitely important. And we'll talk about some of the feedback that we get on a future episode. Or maybe you can be a guest. How about that? All right, let's start walking through some of these cow pies of this lovely process. Probably one of the big things that's noticeable about at least the situation that Ruby went through, Ruby Scooby, that's not her real name, but I wish it were, is that it takes a fucking lifetime to get through all of this process of applying for a job and then going through all of the different interviews. I don't know why that is. I can only tell you from my perspective, as I was in a hiring manager position for some 5 years or so. For me, it was, I just didn't have time to do it all. I was in a situation that many of you are in, where you've got a tornado coming at you, you've got a ton of shit coming at you. I was barely keeping my head above water. I remember at one point asking my boss, what's my number one priority? And he couldn't tell me, because, you know, he wasn't in charge of all of these projects, and they were all high priority. And then there's the day-to-day, right, and maintaining critical systems. So I myself literally had zero time to fit in things like phone screenings and interviews and all the other stuff that you really need to do to, I'll say respectfully, you know, talk to maybe 5 or 10 candidates. Now, 5 or 10 candidates for me, I was in a very competitive market, which means our pool was very tight. But other folks, oh my God, I imagine some hiring managers have 20 or 30 applicants that they have to go through. So I can't even imagine. I could barely do, you know, one or two. So I'm not saying that that's right. It's just reality, right? And by the way, that, just a little rant, I'm going to rant a lot, but that's a little rant of mine, that it's not just hiring managers that are in this position. Everybody's in this position in many, many industries and markets, where you've just got so many things coming at you, and it is impossible to do things well. You're treading water. You're just keeping your head above water, but you're never really doing anything super well. You're never really focused. And personally, you never really get a sense of fulfillment. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people end up just not wanting to do it anymore, even though it generally, and especially in my industry in tech, it pays well and is feeling pretty stable. But anyway, I digress, not really, but sort of. I think there's probably another aspect here of delays in why this process lasts so long, and that is that some managers want to wait until the posting's done, until they've gathered all of the resumes, look through them all, and done, you know, even kind of a comparison with each other before they even make a decision on who gets a phone screening. I don't think that's the ideal way to go. And I say that as someone who tends to do that in life. I tend to plan, and then not execute. But I don't think it works well here. I think the important thing is to treat people as individuals and get the process started as soon as possible to stagger it out. Because otherwise, then you end up with, as I did in some cases early on, now you've got all these people lined up for interviews. And it's basically your entire week, sometimes 2 weeks, are just completely shot. And they should be shot for interviews because those are important, but also, you know, managing a team and maintaining critical systems and all the other stuff that people have to do are also important. So it's just this double-edged sword. I think one of the things that makes the delays worse, it's not a cause of the delays, but it certainly contributes to the dissatisfaction in having these long delays in this process, is the communication. And it's transparent communication. And that seems like a no-brainer, right? I mean, I've said for years, people are very understanding and very accommodating if they just know what's going on, if you just give them information. So if you're in a position where it's going to be a while, let people know, right? Let them make the decision. And yes, you may lose people. You may have people that say, yeah, I don't want to wait 2 weeks for an interview, or I can't wait 2 weeks for an interview. And that's just a chance that you'll have to take, but it's the right thing to do. And I'm not saying that you have to give out your deep, dark company secrets as to why you're delayed. But, you know, for example, a lot of companies, you know, had a period of time where they had to adjust to COVID and working from home. And there were a lot of things that got put on hold. Why not just say, hey, unfortunately, due to COVID, we're going to have to delay this 3 weeks. I hope you're still interested. Please let us know if you're not, but we'll, you know, be in touch by X date. I mean, it's not that hard. And people do appreciate having that communication. It really does make many of them wait and be more patient, because they are being communicated to and they know what's going on. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the phone screening. So I don't think that phone screenings are inherently bad, right? Other than they take a shitload of time to put together. At least that was the case for me. And that is one additional layer that a candidate has to go through on top of an interview, or maybe two, as in Ruby's case, or in some people's cases, three or four. But inherently, they're not bad things. I think they're actually a good idea to do those up front. You know, you give a little information about the position, the company, the expectation. You want to make sure that the candidate's still interested, right? Because you'd be surprised in even just a few days how things can change for a person. So there's no sense in wasting my time or your time if you're not interested, right? And there may be things that are not listed in the job posting that are pertinent that candidate may have questions about that can be addressed in this quick 20-minute or so phone screening. I will say that one thing that I do, it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine, is I think if it's not listed in the posting, which it should be, but if it's not, the phone screening is really the place to talk about salary, because salary is a big factor for a lot of people. And so many companies don't reveal the salary range, and I don't know why. It just seems like it's you have the potential of wasting a lot of time for both the person who's applying for the position as well as the person who's conducting the interviews and managing the hire. But we seem to be a little freaked out about talking about salary range. And I mean, I know part of why that happens. I understand the mentality. You don't want to, in your mind, and I'm using air quotes here, you don't want to overpay somebody who might accept less. But the truth is, I don't care if you're giving somebody a $30,000 salary increase. If they're being hired in a position that's worth that, that's what they should get paid. So if Ruby is making, like, say, $50,000 a year now, and maybe she'll settle for $60,000, maybe that's her goal, is $60,000. But your range of your position is 70 to 80, and she's qualified for that position, why wouldn't you pay her that? I mean, she's probably underpaid now, and why wouldn't you pay somebody for what they're worth? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And likewise, if Ruby is at a higher salary, let's say she's at 80 and your position's at 60, and she's not going lower, she needs to know that up front. Otherwise, she's going to go through this whole process, And then she's going to find out that the salary is not in her range, and she's going to be pissed off, and she's not going to have good things to think about the company, and you're going to have wasted your time as well. So I think it's just important to get that on the table, and I really put that on the hiring company to do that. I don't advocate insisting that you find out what the salary of the person who's hiring for the position is. I mean, it's none of your damn business. If they're worth what you're paying, what your position pays, and they're qualified, then just go with that. Just tell them what it is. Anyway, just had to get that a little bit off my chest, because I've heard a lot of friends who have gone through this job search process have complained about that. All right, let's talk a little bit about the formal interview. I don't even know where to start with these. I guess the big thing is, why are we still asking all of those stupid, dumbass interview questions? I mean, they make fun of this stuff on the TV show The Office all the time. That's how cliche this is. The things like, what do you consider your greatest strength or your biggest weakness? And I know that in some cases, you know, the formal questions are warranted, but we got to get rid of these formal questions, right? They're just, all they do is make the hiring team look lazy and old fashioned. And all it tells you about your client is that they have the ability, the smarts, the intelligence to perform an internet search, because that's exactly what I did in my last job interview. I Googled most popular interview questions, and I went through them once just to kind of, you know, make sure in my brain I knew how I was going to respond. I totally aced the interview, and it was over an hour long, and only one question that I got asked, one question in an hour, was not on my list. So do yourself a favor, go out there and Google those questions, because it's probably a pretty good chance that's what you're going to get. What else? Don't ask an employee. Now, this did not come up with Ruby, but this is something that I've heard. I know somebody who was asked to do this. Don't ask candidates to do free work for you to prove themselves. This is, I can't even tell you how this drives me fucking mad. I do know somebody who was asked to put together an account management plan. This was for a sales position, account sales position for a company, who was asked to put together a plan as part of the interview process. And I gotta be truthful, I find this offensive. I'm certainly borderline unethical. I mean, you're asking someone to do free work for you, really? I mean, if you're going to have them prove themselves, at least pay them for it, right? I'm telling you, if I ever walk into an interview and somebody asks me to do free work just to prove my worth, I'm going to cheat on my way out of there. It's not going to happen. And last, again, this did not happen with Ruby, but it's so common. Can we please, 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 for the love of all that is human, get rid of stupid tactics like the Wonderlic test? Yes, I had to take that. Or those stupid, tricky questions that nobody can answer, like how many golf balls can fit into a school bus? Yes, that's an actual real question. No, people, just no. Just have a conversation with people. I mean, seriously, if you cannot gauge a person's intelligence, their fit for your company, their ability to learn, or whether or not they're a colossal dick or not, then you need to excuse yourself and get someone else in the room. You've got probably 2 or 3 hours to do that. If you can't make that decision in that time, you're probably not in the right position. Or get somebody else in there who can make that decision. Okay. This is intense. My God, I feel horrible for people. I'm so glad I haven't had to do this for a while, because it grinds me just even thinking about it. All right, let's talk a little bit about the multiple interview thing with usually with like a higher up in the company. In Ruby's case, she had to interview twice. The second one was with a director and a vice president. So this is kind of a rampant problem in management chains. I think there is a little bit of control freak, lack of trust going on. You know, I think that's part of it. And I will caveat this by saying, I say caveat a lot. I'll also just say that I think that if you're applying for a position where there's maybe 10 people in the company, like a startup, yeah, you might have the CEO, you know, at the table. That would be kind of normal. But if you're applying to a company that has 7,000 people, as Ruby did, and she's a first level, a ground level employee, why do you need a vice president to conduct a second interview, waste more time, right? It's a kind of a double standard. And I saw this a lot, not just with hiring, but you put people in charge of these huge expensive, critical, complex systems and processes and people, and you say, yeah, you know, go ahead and do it, you're going to be on call and you're going to, you know, you're going to run these things. You're basically going to keep the world churning, but then you don't trust them to make just a simple decision about who's most qualified for that job. The job that they created, right? When I was a hiring manager, I created the job, I managed the job, and I'd been handling the job for years. So it didn't happen to me, but I would have been pretty offended if one of the VPs had said, oh, no, 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 you can't make a decision without me. I would have been like, fuck no. So honestly, this whole three or four level double interview thing is just ridiculous. You can delegate that approval. You trust people to run your systems. You can trust them to make a decision on who is going to be helping to run those systems. So, all right, let's get to my absolute favorite one of them all. And they were never heard from again. This happens all the fucking time. So recently on LinkedIn and Facebook, I did a poll, very unofficial, but a poll nonetheless. And I asked people if they'd ever gone through a full formal interview process for a professional job posting and then never heard anything back one way or the other. Not yes, not no, not thank you for your time, just nothing. So on the LinkedIn poll, 78% of the responders, and I think I had about 27 people respond, so 78% of those said that they had done a formal interview at least once and never heard anything back. And 64% said it had happened multiple times. On Facebook, it was pretty across the board that everybody had this happen at least once, and some people multiple times. Even one person, and this is embarrassing, people. One person said that they had applied for a couple of positions within their own company, just a position in a different department. And they'd been ghosted. They'd never heard anything one way or the other. I mean, that's shameful. Your own person, you're not even telling that, hey, you know, we gave it to somebody else or we pulled it or whatever. That's just embarrassing. But regardless, whatever company you're applying to, it's way too many. 78% is way too many. One is way too many. The correct answer should be zero. If somebody's not going to be moving on, they're not going to get an offer. Why not just tell them? Is it against the law to say we're not extending an offer at this time? And it's not against the law because I know some companies do it, but unfortunately many do not. So what do you do? It goes back to this whole communication thing, right? I mean, again, people are very accommodating if you just let them know what's going on. And I'm guarantee you a candidate would just rather hear we're not going to extend the offer at this time than to be sitting around waiting and hoping like Ruby did for 3 weeks because this was the company she really wanted to work for. You know, just let them know if they're not in the running or if they are in the running and maybe you're just being delayed, you know, COVID, whatever. Just tell them, just let them know, you know, hey, you know, unforeseen circumstances. They'll trust me, they will appreciate it. We just, you know, we need to just kind of stop being cowards. And I know, you know, people get caught up in this whole, I don't want to, you know, liability and I want to get sued. I don't think any of this applies to that. I think this is just human decency, right? This is a tough time for people when they're looking for jobs, many of them. So let's just, you know, stop being jerks about it. So anybody who's going through this situation right now, they're going through a job search, and I know so many are because of COVID. Make a call if this is the company that you really want to work for. You know, I hesitate to say just forget them completely because I know just because a company takes you through this, you know, bullshit process, it doesn't mean that they're not a good company to work for. I think Ruby's situation was an instance of that. It wasn't a bad company. They just got, you know, mucked up in bureaucracy and analysis paralysis and whatnot. But I'm just saying, you know, if it's happening to you, just at least consider it, you know, make it part of your overall assessment of whether it's a company that you want to work for. And I know this is easier said than done in tough times, so it's easy for me to say, take it with a grain of salt. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But in any case, just hang in there because it is a tough process and it's cumbersome and it's frustrating. All right, so now I'm going to stop here. We're going to just open the floor for some insight. I'd love to get some better understanding of this process and you know, hear from some of you folks. If anybody has any ideas on improvement for this whole job search interview application process, I'd love to hear from some hiring managers other than myself. Again, I am but one perspective, and certainly HR. Really, there's so many folks out there that live and breathe this every day. I'd love to hear from you. And job seekers, is this resonating? Is any of this just making sense? Am I completely off base here? I don't think so, because I've heard from a lot of you, but I want to hear from you as well. So the best way to do that is to hop on over to our Facebook group. It's called Cafe Grit. We continue those discussions there because they are very, very important, and we need to continue to call this stuff out. So, all right, Gritsters, that's it for today's talk. I hope that all of you are thriving in spite of the world, and especially those of you that are looking for something better, whatever it is, I hope that we can help you find it. So thanks for stopping by, and we'll talk to you next time. Take it easy. Hey, everybody. Thanks for stopping by Cafe Grit, where the moxie is fresh, the passion cold brewed, and everything is served with a heaping side of mojo. If you like what's on the menu, please check out the Cafe Grit group on Facebook, where I'd love to hear your feedback and continue these conversations. You can also find me on LinkedIn as Beth Ann Campbell, that's Ann with an E, or by following hashtag Cafe Grit. And I will be forever beholden if you would give me a quick review on iTunes to make the Apple gods happy. In return, I will wish upon you copious amounts of bacon, your favorite hot beverage, and of course, pie. The music for this podcast is called Lounge Cafe, and it's by Dmitry Balyev. You can find more great tunes by Dmitry and others at audiojungle.net. Check it out. Thanks again for stopping by, and remember, you don't have to deal with the bullshit, and there is something better out there. Let's figure it out together. Take it easy.